You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 806. A look back at the end of the adventure run. And welcome to episode 806 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am a solo presenting lad. And I'm going to present for you episode 204 from all the way back in September of 2012. And in this episode, we look at the end of the adventure run. And all the wacky goodness that was going on with that kind of stuff. So without further ado, episode 204.
And welcome to episode 204 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I am just the tip lad.
Jesus, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Get the explicit tag, folks.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I know what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about this weekend. I spent some time at the southernmost tip of Canada. Which is Point Pelee, and it was very cool. So it's down. Which parallel are you at, Darren? This was at the 42nd.
I'm parallel to Peachtree Street. I know what you're talking about.
We are just below. Yeah, we're probably around the 42nd.
Yeah, so it's right around that. It's on Lake Erie. And so we went there for the weekend and made our hike to the point, and it was very, very cool. And so we got to spend a good day at the beach yesterday, followed by a big canoe ride with the family, and Ella was she wanted to paddle. And at one point, because the guy explained to us how we're supposed to hold the paddles, the guide, because basically it was like going through this marsh, and so he would show you all sort of the flora and fauna and whatnot. And Ella, at one point, this is before we went, as everyone was still getting into the boat, I was just holding my oar by its side, and Ella said, "Daddy, the teacher said you have to hold it at the top."
Snark.
It was awesome. It was just so funny that she immediately took
number,
him
mister.
As she immediately took this guy as the teacher, because he was telling us what we were doing. So she's like, "Daddy, the teacher said." So
well,
yeah,
smart kid.
Absolutely. And I tell you, her rowing technique was impeccable. She did a great job, and she was really good at it, and had a lot of fun with it. So, not bad for her first time on the water.
You were actually further south than us, because we are on the 43rd parallel.
There you go.
I'm trying to find a place where I can find where Atlanta's located on the
Wikipedia. What I really liked was that they actually had a big metal 42 that we got a family picture taken at, because 42 and all, right? And so that was just kind of cool.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff for the 45th parallel.
I'm at 33-45-18 north and 84-23-24 west. Whatever that means. So
you're at the 33rd.
Yeah.
There we go. So
30, whatever you said. I can't.
Something
33 degrees, 45.
You're at the 33rd.
Apostrophe 18. Sorry, I didn't take cartography.
Well, welcome to Geography Cast.
Oh, take a drink.
Hi, Scott.
Anyway, that's me.
That's you. Okay. I don't have a Legion name this week because I have decided to turn in my Legion membership for a little piece of an island off somewhere that no one can get to unless you're very special and magical. So I am Wonder Warrior this week.
Yeah, you are.
Sorry, kids. Go to my Facebook. You can see the picture. It's not quite done yet. I'm working on the accessories, but it'll be ready in time for Dragon Con. Have no fear.
Which is going on, which has just come to an end.
It's come to an end as you hear this, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
Indeed, indeed. You know, everyone will be like, man, these guys are like a week late with all this news.
Yeah, I know, right? No, we weren't a week late. We were actually a week ahead. You're just hearing it late. See? Okay. There you go. So, yeah, now you learn something. See how
it's,
that works.
It's not us, it's you.
Exactly. You get in the DeLorean, you punch in the wrong number, it's your fault. No one else's. So, basically, that's all I'm working on. I've got to get the rainbow pad ready for a couple of friends who are going to stay over.
Nice.
And getting things ready for that and starting school and all that jazz. And, hopefully, Isaac, who appears to have ruined something in Tampa... Don't know.
Who ordered a hurricane?
Who ordered a hurricane? And why isn't Pat Robertson saying that people have lost their way?
All I can think of is his Isaac from...
right. From who ordered a hurricane?
And don't want a cocktail. hopefully everyone down there is doing okay. And hopefully it won't come up here and drown a whole bunch of steam puckers because I hear they rust in the rain. So
yes.
Yeah, all those goggles, all those brass interlocking parts. It could be ugly. So that's me this week, and we'll see how things went at Dragon Con. What I can tell you, at least. So,
I'm Matt Kramer, and this week I am can't fall onto Skype lad. So I'm the opposite of Scott.
You're bizarro Scott.
Exactly.
Bizarro Scott.
You can't stay logged on. I can't get logged in. Oh, the rage against Skype tonight. Oh, it was intense.
It's true, folks. I got
now. I love Skype, so it will never make me fall off. Right?
We are friends now, right, Skype?
That's the ticket.
Exactly.
Oh, my.
Outdated reference. Take a drink.
Indeed. Yes.
Hello, Mr. John Lovitz. Where are you now?
I'm right here.
It's actually on Piers Morgan the other night, and I was like, wow, we are scraping the bottom, aren't we?
Oh, I see.
He's pretty involved in the podcasting.
He
community.
Is. He is. Right. The John Lovitz Podcast Theater on the Hollywood Walk. He occasionally fills in. If Kevin Smith is traveling, he will occasionally fill in on Hollywood Babylon. And and I always love it when he does, because since he owns the club, it's always a little funny when it's someone's birthday, he's like, order the cake.
Nice. Oh, John Lovitz.
I like Mr. Lovitz.
Acting
way better than like other SNL alums I can mention. So I like him. So
yeah,
he's funny.
So Scott isn't with us because he is
drunk to talk.
Well, it was entirely possible, but no, he's making his way back as we record this. Fan Expo has just ended, and so he's
like a hobo. Let's be honest.
It just it took him a while to get out of the convention center, and apparently the event was oversold again this year.
Shocker.
Oh yeah, Scott works the show, doesn't he?
That's right. That's right. So. So yeah, they were just before we started recording, they were just getting on the highway. So,
getting on the highway
in a pink Cadillac.
Oh man! So anyway, so I did manage to join Scott and Murray on Thursday.
When was Murray Thursday? Wearing skinny jeans?
Please say no.
He was not. He was not. Yay, it was a very warm day. It was a very warm day.
Was he wearing those Twister shorts?
I have no idea.
The white shorts with the little colored circles all over them?
No.
Those are cute. I'm going to steal those from Murray.
So. Anyway. So we went down to the con, and I managed to get my whole con experience done in a couple of hours.
Wow.
So I got in there, I got a ticket just for the day, and so I dropped Murray off, and then I went and got the tickets and everything, like my ticket, and so I get in there and I make my way over to Jack Brilio's table. And
hey, Jack Briglio.
Indeed. Correct. And Alex wasn't able to make it this year. He had some busy stuff going on for work. So I talked to Jack and to Scott Chandler, who often shares a bit of table space with him. And so we chatted with those guys for a little while, which was awesome. It's always a pleasure to talk to them. And then Murray found me, and we went.
Despite your best intentions.
I thought, you know, the whole thing was that we were planning, because another friend of ours, Scott Hollows, he was having a few people over, and so he does a podcast called Comic Speakeasy, and if I had the link handy, I would say it, but I will put it in show notes. So we were all going over to his place after. And so Murray found me, and see, there's some essentials that I need out of a Toronto con, and that is talking with Jack, and a little bit of back issue bin diving, and I always stop over to see the Kitchen Brothers, and so we went over, hit a couple of back issue bins. I managed to get three needed Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes issues, one Cockrum and a couple of Grells, nice. Including Dawnstar's first appearance, which I realized I didn't have. Yes, yeah, so
it's all your fault, Dawnstar. You were supposed to help.
Exactly.
Or Legion hazing coming up in future issues, folks.
Oh,
don't worry.
Yes. Oh, yes. So, yeah, I got a few of those, a buck a piece, and... And then actually Mike Kitchen found me. So it was like, I knew I had to find my way to the Kitchen Brothers table. Mm-hmm. The Kitchen Brothers table came to me.
Oh,
did he read to you?
It was on wheels.
Okay. No, that's Scott Chandler.
Scott Chandler.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So managed to get a couple of Legion issues, talked to Mike for a bit, and then we went and we found Scott and we headed off and we went over and had a couple of drinks on the patio, some burgers, all that good stuff. No fish sticks, sorry, Dan. And
don't worry about me. I'm fine without any fish. It's okay.
And actually, one of the guys who's on his show, David, had one of the DC Direct flight rings, which was very cool.
Ooh.
And I had my. It's the one time of year that I can wear my my Green Lantern ring, and so I had that. The one that's the movie prop replica. So con in a day. That was like, con in a couple of hours, in fact, and it all went well. And I have some new Legion issues, so it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
There was also some news that came out of the convention. There will be
news.
Yeah, yep. there will be a Justice League of America book coming out.
Mm, yeah, what's up with that?
And hey, it's I'm looking at the image, and it's reminiscent of Gay for Justice. It's just. I get from it. So this
it's not awful, but you just go low and then come up.
And so, then sometimes I can't hear anything you're saying, to be honest. So I don't know if that's me or what. So.
Oh, okay. So,
but you just did it. You just modulated up.
Okay. All right. So some of our members.
Mm-hmm.
Who we got?
There's Martian Manhunter. Nice to see him back in Justice League. I think he's the one carrying the cred.
I'm sorry, which one?
It was nice to see Martian Manhunter in front and forward. He's now in a Justice League book. Everyone can stop flipping out.
Yeah. So what else we got? We got Martian Manhunter. We got Green Arrow.
And this is the first time I'm hearing this news, so I'm listening to it intently.
Okay. Excellent. Really?
Excellent. Okay, so
Hawkman.
There's Green Arrow and Hawkman on the same team. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know.
Katana.
But some of the interesting choices here are Katana.
Yep.
Nice.
And Stargirl. Catwoman.
Yeah, Katana, Catwoman, and Stargirl.
Yeah, ooh, what's Stargirl doing on Earth One? Anyone? Anyone?
Indeed.
Anyone? Okay. Just asking the question. Why not? It's okay. It's a different continuity. It's fine. It's fine. It'll be okay.
You know, I kind of like her to be able to potentially interact with the younger heroes than just with the older people on Earth 2. And I'm a fan of Earth 2.
Yeah, yeah. And the other interesting thing is I don't see her carrying the staff.
No, she's not carrying the staff.
Right, so that's...
purposeful.
Yeah, so that... I know that she at one point had the converter belt for a while, Skyman's old belt. Yep. Anyway.
She wore Sylvester's old belt, yes.
Yep. Exactly. Which was a melted down staff.
Yeah. A good point. So, it'll be interesting to see sort of how they place her now. There is also this mysterious new Green Lantern that we're going to be seeing.
The one that packs heat, folks.
Yes. Just in
might
case
well
the ring runs
extreme
out.
Justice League of America.
So there's them, there's Catwoman, there's Steve Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor's becoming a very important figure in the new 52.
Absolutely. Sure. And most importantly, there is Darren.
Vibe!
That's right. So we got...
Ramon. At least we think we are. Eh, Paco? Yeah.
So this will be written by Geoff Johns with art by David Finch. What that bodes for Batman the Dark Knight, I'm not sure.
Will it come out sooner than the Jim Lee book has?
It'll be 2013, I think, is when this one comes out.
Yeah, so I think he's starting issue one now.
I was making a joke
now.
About David Finch.
I know. I'm
anyways,
aware.
so that's it's an interesting lineup. But it reminds me very much of the Cry for Justice lineup where there were a few really odd choices in there.
Yeah.
That's sort of the first thing that comes to mind. But I gotta say, I wonder if they're going to and I know that they've been doing. I think they've been doing a Green Arrow Hawkman crossover, but I haven't read any of it. So,
I hear Hawkwoman's back, Shiera. I hear she's back in Savage Hawkman. Who knows how much she'll change now that there's a writer change on that book? Apparently, so we'll see.
Wait, that book is still coming out?
Yes, that book is still coming out.
Well, yes, but it's going to have a new creative team, that's for sure.
That is for sure.
You're calling Rob Liefeld a creative team?
Well, you know.
Oh, no, we're just saying that since he's left his position, someone else is going to have to take over. That's all.
So it's acquiring a creative team.
Oh.
Snap!
Kramer is very unforgiving tonight, folks.
Yes. Curse you, Skype.
Enough of nutty boy who's nuts. Back to the Justice League because yes, Finch has issues with delays.
Yeah,
but I don't know this. This book's going to look pretty. Geoff Johns is writing it, so this. In theory, will kind of sync up with what's going on in the other Justice League book. Now, the question is, will it be another, for example, he announced that he's going to be leaving Aquaman, and now that story kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. But, because I have been really enjoying Aquaman, but that 16 issues will be 4 of the best Aquaman issues ever.
Stop it. I love the Aquaman. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a pretty book that takes 10 seconds to read.
I understand.
I'm just saying,
and I agree with you, but I'm still loving it.
Absolutely.
Have a great Aquaman story that takes 10 seconds to read.
You know, I love the art.
And that's it. And that's probably the thing that I actually probably spend a bit more than 10 seconds, but the most of that time is actually spent just marveling at the art because it's beautiful.
This is awesome.
And I am often
come on.
I'm often not a Finch fan because I find he sometimes gets into that really sort of over-rendery space. But this promotional image doesn't seem to be, you know, it's very detailed, but it's not that crazy over-rendery stuff that he does. So, anyway.
Can we just take that woman off the Rogues Gallery list now and make her a hero? Can we just do that, DC? Please, for the love of God.
Hasn't it already pretty much been done?
I thought so.
You know,
I'm kind of over her being this, you know, I'm fine with her being a bad girl, you know, with the heart of gold. That's fine. But can we just pretend she's no longer a villain and give Batman another villainess who's kind of sexually threatening to him?
But they've already kind of done that because she's got her own book. She's actually been a teammate of his
For
years. The Batman Inc. kind of thing. So I think they kind of did away with all that when they did the 1 year later stuff.
Yeah, I would love to see a new Catwoman because this Catwoman's not living up to the legend of the original Catwoman now. I would love to see Selina find someone taking her place and having the, you know, the chomps to do it. So that'd be fun.
You know, they seem to be grooming Howie to be doing it for how many years and then nothing happened?
And then nothing happened with that.
That's a good point. Absolutely.
Nothing ever happened with that, DC. But this is a new reboot. You can do whatever you want to. Hello. Okay. So, and you are, God knows. You're doing whatever you want. So.
Hey, it's their sandbox.
I know. It's their sandbox. Toys. Their toys.
Watch out for the cat knows. Buried in there.
So we got a 6-part Dead Man story. Anyway.
No, it just felt like it was 6 parts.
Because he was in 3 books. We get it. You're pushing the Dead Man. We know he's old. He's going to mold. We understand. It's okay. Push the Dead Man. I'm intrigued by the lineup. And the one thing about the New 52 so far I can say is I'm very happy that Steve Trevor is a force to be reckoned with now. As opposed to, you know, this man in distress character he seemed to always be in Wonder Woman. So it's nice for him to have more of a presence in the DC.
Yeah, well, that's it, and it just seems that, you know, that place would have normally been what, like King Faraday
or
Sarge Steel.
Steel,
yeah,
Amanda Waller.
I kind of like it being Trevor. I think it's neat. It's interesting to and this is going to get interesting when we see some of the Team 7 stuff start up as well.
Trevor has always been so underutilized,
exactly.
Exactly, and he's not getting any use in Wonder Woman right now. So,
no, he's not. He's kind of off the table completely in Wonder Woman right now.
You know, I kind of like that. I kind of like that he's not just Wonder Woman's boyfriend.
Well, I know. That's what I'm liking too.
Yeah, you know, it's an established character that they can use as this kind of liaison, and I think that's going to be interesting. Anyway,
Stargirl seems to be the only one smiling in the photo, so I'm guessing that she's going to be the optimistic member of the group.
Yeah,
you know,
that's absolutely
perfect for her.
I know it is, but I'm looking at the rest of them going, wow, how's she gonna fit in? You know, so
it's yeah exactly, and we don't know how this vibe's gonna come across. I don't think he'll be written quite the same way as he was back in the day.
No, probably.
You mean
probably
he will be
not
written?
he'll be written, hopefully better than the previous incarnation of Vibe. God rest his breakdancing soul. So,
indeed,
he was of a time. I mean, if Dazzler can recover from disco, Vibe can recover from breakdancing. So, come on.
Oh, without a doubt.
Has Dazzler recovered?
Yes, Dazzler has recovered.
I honestly don't know because I haven't writer in a book since like Dazzler and Shatterstar got together in that, or Dazzler and Longshot
together. Not Shatterstar.
Shatterstar's their kid.
Yeah, that's Shatterstar's creepy. Their kid.
What?
In an alternate universe, Shatterstar is.
Oh, good grief!
In the is it the Mojo? No, it's not the Mojo. It's an alternate. It's one of the myriad.
Okay.
And this is why Legion continuity is so much easier than X-Men continuity, folks. There you go. That just took 5 seconds to prove. Thank you. Take that, Claremont.
Shatterstar is one of the greatest character creations ever.
Yeah,
he's got
four
elbows. I can't say it.
Well, Peter David's doing interesting things with him, but that's Peter David.
Yes.
Or at least he was when I was still reading X-Factor.
Yeah, and the original creator of Shatterstar is not too happy about his relationship with Richter, can I tell you that? Hello.
You know, that thing's been, that relationship has been building for like 20
years.
Since
he was created.
Anyway,
I'll rant on that another day, folks.
We've already steered away from that guy once. Let's keep steering.
We're gonna have to have a day. Catch me at a con after a couple of.
Look at it this way: we don't have to worry about him showing up on a Legion book. So,
please, would you knock wood before you say that?
Anyway.
I put nothing against DC's assigning stuff right now.
Well, you know,
yeah, we know you take everybody off when you left, but we really want you to write. We want you to write this 12-issue maxi series about the Time Trapper and his whores. Can you do that? Anyway,
sorry, what were you saying, Matt?
Of all the books out there, Legion has not changed really, except for the writer shuffle on Lost. But
yeah,
that's all that's really changed. We've been relatively unscathed by this, which is unusual for a reboot.
Indeed.
So, although, you know, Legion election time's coming up.
It's...
Paul keeps teasing through his Facebook page, so be on the lookout, folks.
Exactly. All right, so let's get to the story.
Alrighty.
We've titled this one The End of the Adventure because... it's the end of the Adventure Comics run for the Legion for quite some time.
Yeah, it is. Sad.
But this has a classic, Checkerbox era cover.
I love this cover.
You know, it's one of those classic covers that has the, I can't find Superboy. Where could he be? And then you see the dinosaur... the dino beast over the other side eating the cape.
Can we just look at the issue and not read the story?
No, we have to actually read the story. Because you know that dinosaur's got kryptonite teeth, right?
I feel as though I need to queue up Thus Break Zarathustra because this is the Legion's Space Oddity.
Odyssey.
It's made of stars. Oh, wait, there is a monolith in this very issue.
Is there? Oh, God.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kal-El. I can't do that. Daisy.
All right, we've lost Kramer. We've lost him.
I have been broken.
Well, all right. So we started off with a splash page showing Superboy on a rocky island, and a duo damsel and Bouncing Boy are flying by, and she says, "It's Superboy on that rocky island. He's in trouble. We must help him, Bouncing Boy." Bouncing Boy says, "No, Duo Damsel, turn back. It's a trick to get you lost in this storm. The real Superboy is dead."
No!
Dun, dun, dun. He's looking for a Horcrux. That didn't end well, did it?
So here's what Shooter was studying in school at the time. He was clearly studying some Homeric poetry, as it were. The Odyssey.
What was that? Homeric? Oh, okay.
Darren's like, wait, what the?
Homo Eric? What?
Too soon.
Homer's been dead for whatever.
Poor Homer.
Hold on. We are remiss in our news, gentlemen. Raise your glasses. Mr. Neil Armstrong.
Oh, yes.
Astronaut.
Yes.
Passed away this year. Recently, obviously.
And sadly, Jerry Nelson of the Muppets.
Yeah,
yes.
Of the Muppets.
Yes,
it's been a really rough week for us in sci-fi and fantasy and all that jazz. So,
raise
your glasses, have a drink to them, because these gentlemen, you know, made fantasy through felt, and the other one walked on the frickin' moon. Okay, people?
Yeah.
Let's have a little moment. Okay.
All right, then. This cover was actually not a Neil Adams one, by the way. It's a Kurt Swan and Mike Esposito cover.
You know, like you said, that just makes it more perfect for this issue.
It, mm-hmm. it kind of does, doesn't it? And so
but it is a Jim Shooter story.
Yeah, so. it's Shooter and Win Mortimer. And so let's take it into the story. So in the master communications room at Legion HQ, they're giving the equipment its daily inspection. And so Superboy is checking wiring with his his vision powers, and Invisible Kid checks the round table universal scanner, which will never be seen again. And then a signal comes in, and so Invisible Kid asks Superboy to answer the call, and it's Dream Girl using the scrambler circuit and code A, which means it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, "I must talk to you alone. Listen." And it turns out she's got a prediction, which, of course, always come true. And
I know it's going to come true. It has to come true.
They always do. He won't. But Superboy won't tell Invisible Kid what it's all about. He just says, "That's just a routine report. Nothing to worry about." With that, Invisible Kid notices that the radiation level in the headquarters is soaring, and some sort of tremendous energy is building up. So they try to figure out where it's coming from, but they can't. It seems to be everywhere at once and is nearing the danger zone. So Superboy goes to check if anyone's in the lab, while Invisible Kid heads for the rec room, which is where probably the rest of them are. And sure enough, he's correct. And they're asking, "Why is it we need to evacuate the base?" And he says, "There's no time for questions. Hurry."
And no time for love, Dr. Jones.
Exactly. And Superboy comes running in, and there's an explosion. And a barroom explosion. And they wake up, and they are somewhere else. Not sure where they are. But it doesn't look like heaven, according to Bouncing Boy.
It's Iowa.
Exactly. Is it Iowa?
Exactly. All right, so they weren't blown anywhere. Not blown anywhere, Bouncing Boy. So there's some sort of teleport gimmick, and they're trying to figure out what that is. Anyway, they're trying to figure out where they are. They say it's some kind of barren space world. It's in deep space, so it's actually
with it.
It probably is Iowa.
Kramer's got a map.
So they're trying to figure out why they're there, and Lightlass figures someone clearly wants them off Earth. So Superboy's got... Sorry, go ahead.
It was Gates, that creepy little cockroach. He did it.
There you go.
Teleportation. Hello, right up his alley.
So they say Ultra Boy orders Superboy to do some super fast space exploring and find out where they are in relation to Earth. Then a big dinosaur beast comes up behind them, and Superboy says that he'll handle it. So he gives the dinosaur a punch and tells it to scat, but realizes it's tougher than it looks. And it grabs him and it starts biting at him, because it turns out the beast's teeth are made of green kryptonite.
Of course. Because that was going to happen.
Yeah. You know, we could have taken a drink if it turned out that it originally had some lead fillings.
He went to the dinosaur dentist, all right, and he got some green grills up in there. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And so it eats him. It's too late. Superboy's been devoured.
Nom, 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 yes. Nom, nom.
So the monster seems satisfied with that, and so he leaves. And so they say, "Well, we've got another job to do before we leave this world." So they make a big stone and Matt?
The obelisk?
The obelisk.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Oh.
And Ultra Boy uses his flash vision to inscribe Superboy's emblem, because Ultra Boy has mad flash vision skills. and in fact can do all kinds of artwork with it. So, anyway, then he says, okay, that's done. I know how y'all feel, but we got a cold night and we got to get it figured out. So, meanwhile, Ultra Boy has a special job to do with Invisible Kid's help.
Oh, my. Hello.
So off
well,
they
go. Well, Fangirl not here. Someone's going to take care of the, you know, ultra power switch.
So. Any port in a storm. And so they need fire. And fortunately, Sunboy is there. So he can make fire. But there's no firewood. So what does he use for fuel? And he says, oh, you'll find something. And so they get these big rocks, and Ayla helps make them lighter so they're easier to move, and they make a little shelter. Looks like a Flintstone house.
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, Duo Damsel, very upset Superboy. Yeah. She said, I was crazy about Superboy. I knew I didn't stand a chance with him, but that didn't matter. Nope. And she says, so she thinks she's feeling kind of useless. And Bouncing Boy says, you, useless? I used to feel that way till I found my place in life. And she said, what's that? And he says, comic relief. I have a self-appointed official post in the Legion, chief of morale. The others take themselves too seriously. They need a laugh once in a while.
And thus the relationship begins, folks.
Exactly. Right there. Right there. So we get into part two, the building of the ship. So, Bouncing Boy continues his pep talk. He's just basically trying to make Duodezo feel better. And while he's doing that, Ultra Boy and Invisible Kid make their way back. Meanwhile, Sunboy has found some coal for the fire.
He was naughty.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Cosmic Boy realizes that he's made the house, but forgot to make a door. So Ultra Boy has it figured out. He says, one door coming up. And they notice that Invisible Kid has some crude piece of slate. Like, it looks like a little blackboard. Uh-huh. And they get themselves warmed by the fire. And they said, okay, it's time. Let's try to have a meeting. So Invisible Kid has basically come up with plans for a ship, and he found some chalk, and so he is actually able to make the plans for the ship on the chalkboard. And so that's what they got to make. Rather than just sit around whining about their situation. So they know that there's lots of minerals and raw materials. So Bouncing Boy is put in charge of finding the raw materials.
Of course he was.
Exactly.
Don't drink them.
No, exactly. Exactly.
They're soda pop on this planet.
So he gets to bouncing about, and he notices that a cliff face has the reddish color of iron ore. So he calls on his wrist communicator. To get out, it says to Ultra Boy to get out there to get some iron, and so he comes by, and not only is there iron now, so they've got the iron now. They need to find copper, aluminum, and manganese, and so they basically fill all this stuff into the hole, and some boy makes with the smelting. And refines the iron ore, and then Cosmic Boy is able to lift a big glob of molten iron, and then he alters the lines of force, shaping the metal into a rib for the ship. So he basically builds the entire framework that Invisible Kid had designed on his chalkboard. And so when Duo Damsel comes back, they've got the ship pretty much finished. At least as far as the framework goes, they got the door. You know, it's actually fair precision made vehicle. And so meanwhile, Duo Damsel found a whole lot of water and discovered some rabbit-like creatures. They provided meat. I smoked some and salted the rest.
And she made herself a lovely full-length gown.
Exactly. Cosmic Boy charges the generator with his magnetic power. Sunboy distills fuel for the ship, and away they go. So because the engine they made isn't powerful enough for a takeoff, it's just going to be used for steering and acceleration. So the blast-off belongs to Ultra Boy. But it takes most of his Ultra Strength to hurl the ship far enough. And now he has to get back aboard before it reaches space. So he goes at super speed. And then he'll have to, he says he won't be able to switch to invulnerability, so he has to get to the ship while it's still in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So they get him in, and they're trying to figure out how to make the ship travel faster. So Lightlast makes it weightless so that they go a lot faster. And they're figuring, hey, faster than a speeding bullet with our engine, we should be able to make warp speed. And so basically, you know, Shooter shows off everything he's been learning in science class by how the tanks work and, you know, being filled with compressed air and everything. And they see a familiar grouping of stars, maybe in the vicinity of Earth's system, but they're not sure. So Bouncing Boy notices a planet. And he says, a planet? I don't remember planets nearby when I was checking our course. But it turns out it's a meteor, a big one. And so Ultra Boy gets out there and he uses his ultra speed to get out of the ship so fast that the air doesn't have time to escape. Then he switches to invulnerability, which will protect him from airless space. And just for a few seconds, ultra strength to smack down the meteor. Bruce Willis needed him on his team for our head. So he shatters it.
He pushed the feral lad button and he did it well. Let's be honest.
And so anyway, so then he goes to Ultra Boy goes to check the hull because it's been damaged, and he says, "Well, the ship was rickety at best before. Now it's unspaceworthy." And so they figure there's a planet. They're already in its gravitational field, so they need to get in there to make some repairs. And so they land on this planet. As it turns out, the whole world is covered with water.
Oh, no.
There's only a few islands. And so they land, you know, no more than jutting rocks as far as the land on this planet goes. So they get out there to start repairing, and... you know, Cosmic Boy straightens the beams with his super magnetism, and Sun Boy is welding the hull breaks. And Ultra Boy says, "What I wouldn't give for a Legion cruiser instead." And then he looks over and it's like, "Look, a Legion cruiser." So they figure, some other Legionnaires must be there on a mission. So off they go, and they realize that the ship is on an island about a mile away. And they get to the island, and the ship is gone. And they're thinking, well, what's happened? But Sun Boy's figured it out. And he says, wait, look over there. It's Superboy. And Duo Damsel sees him, and then he's not dead. He escaped and found us. And she goes flying over there. And Bouncing Boy tries to stop her because there is a storm building. And so this is kind of where we came in on the splash.
There's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne.
Exactly.
She's way cuter, though, Kramer. I'm sorry.
The size of the... So they figure it's another mirage, and they figure it's some evil intelligence on this world that's designed to lure them to their deaths in the storm. And Bouncing Boy finds her, and she's freaked out, and he explains to her that it was an illusion that was intended to lure her into danger. And she says, "Oh, I was so foolish. You shouldn't have come after me." And he says, "The waves are surging over the island. I'm afraid we've had it, honey." And suddenly, a whirlpool forms around the rock and it protects them from the wave.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to figure out how that could happen. And she says, "Oh, well." He's like, "Well, who knows? But we're safe for now." So the storm eases up, and they make their way back over. Ultra Boy says that he had given them up for lost, but he explains the whole whirlpool thing. And Ultra Boy thinks it seems strange. He says, "But we're going home to some real answers now. Invisible Kid and I figured out a quick way." So Cosmic Boy made this, helped make a super cable that they can use to swing the ship and basically accelerate it till it approaches hyperlight velocity. Then, if Invisible Kid's calculations are correct, it should crack the dimensional barrier. So Joe needs to hold on to the cable, of course, so that he can follow through. And so they open up the dimensional barrier, and in it goes, and they see Earth. So now Ultra Boy can get into the ship at super speed. So they call out to the science police, who are requesting landing permission. They say, "Wait a second, the real Legionnaires warned us about you phonies." And he's, but surely you recognize the wavelength of our wrist communicators. And apparently they do not. So Ultra Boy goes to check the headquarters, and he sees Superboy and Mon-El and doubles of all the rest of them.
Oh no!
Yeah. And so it turns out there's this fantastic ray blast that kills everyone in the clubhouse. And they say, "They're all dead." And they say, "No, Superboy and Mon-El are fine. The rest were robots." Robots. Robots indeed.
Robots. It's always robots.
Always with the robots.
Silly robots.
Yeah, so then they get given landing clearance for Legion headquarters, and they get there, and Superboy's fine. And they say, "Oh, and there's Mon-El and the Super Pets. What gives?" He says, "Simmer down. Simmer down, boss man. Simmer down now. We just had to pull a little hoax to save your necks. Dream Girl warned me of a fantastic threat, one you'd never have believed, so I used the energy of my X-ray vision to register danger on the Envirometer, KO'd you all with a stun bomb, and whisked you to that alien world."
Because that's much less complicated.
Yeah. Superboy is no fan of Occam's Razor.
No, none whatsoever. Yeah.
So the monster was a hollow mock-up with fake kryptonite teeth, operated in...
a lot of time to make that in the interim, you know, at super speed, of course.
Yeah, exactly. This will be much quicker. So the Crypto was operating the dinosaur. Comet, the super horse, went, "Oh, I'm going to kick this meteor in their way." The illusions, including the Legion ship, was Prodi using his shape-changing power.
Wait, this shape change.
Yeah, it is. Oh, and Streaky whisked him away before you got to him. Couldn't he have just changed into something smaller?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Finally, the whirlpool that saved Duo Damsel and Bouncing Boy was whipped up by Beppo the Super Monkey.
Yay, Beppo!
So it turns out that they were being protected because Dream Girl said that they had been threatened by an evil old man in a sailboat who would turn the wind against them. And they said, "A sailboat?
An evil old man in a sailboat? Are you sure this isn't Disco Legion?"
I think he just read The Old Man and the Sea.
I think he did, yeah.
Ooh, literary reference. Take a drink.
Oh. Yeah, or probably comes into something from the Odyssey as well. So they say, "Yeah, we knew you wouldn't believe it, and that's why Mon-El and I arranged to be the only real Legionnaires here for a while. We're invulnerable." Jerk. So meanwhile, on the surface of the sun, you see this mighty vessel skimming the dense molten matter, driven by the solar winds, blah, blah, blah. And there's a guy named Skiznix on there.
I'm Skexy, and I know it.
So they've got a death ray. They're the guys running the death ray. And the woman says, "Nothing can withstand our death ray now that we've learned to tap the power of the solar wind." Ooh. He says, "Solar wind, fine.
Solar wind.
Why must we sail this blasted ship on this accursed sun to tap it?"
Sailing takes me away from where I'm going.
Yeah, so he's the old man, and they say something about they're worrying about a nosy space patrol. So she says, "We're succeeding, and we drink to the fact that we've overcome our first obstacle, the Legion." He says, "I'm still nervous." And then the Legionnaires show up, and they've traced the ray blast and used a new experimental teleporter to get there, which we'll never see again. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So it's so there's this crazy, crazy experiment. But they're not worried about the weapon harming them. So they say no point in using that weapon on us. And he goes, I'm not stupid. I realize it's pointless to fight now. And they zap themselves.
Ooh. Major fail. No. We don't do that. No.
No, they succeeded. They were trying to do that.
Yeah, they figured they would pay the price for their crimes, and he decided he would rather do the job themselves.
So they're Texans.
Damn. Sorry, Bill. And
corporations are not people until Texas executes one. Thank you.
give them time.
I know, right?
He said, clearly would be conquerors from another universe and obviously uninformed about what we do with captives. So he expected that the Legionnaires would kill them, so instead he decided to kill himself. And Superboy says, well, this certainly has to go down as one of our strangest cases. And they say, but at least Earth is safe for now. For the time being, yes, but who knows what will pop up next.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or where it will pop up.
Ooh. Things pop up all the time. You're a teenager in high school.
Exactly, and so that takes us to the end of the Adventure Comics run.
Hello, Adventure Comics. We miss you already.
Exactly. Sigh. And so we'll end up picking them up again in Action Comics.
Oh, yeah. Buy the vodka now, kids, because
there's some
coming out.
There's some neat ideas that are coming up, though. Ultrogan, for example.
Yeah, there's so one ideas. Neat idea.
All right. Well, there's that. What about Namlor? Yeah.
Yeah. What about him?
Yeah. It wasn't a good thing. I'll freely admit that.
There's one quick thing I wanted to add to this issue. And the actual issue itself features a nice little essay, the DC Comics Fact File Number 7, that May 1939 is the 30th anniversary of Detective Comics number 27. It spends most of the article talking about Slam Bradley and Spy and some of the other shorts that appeared in that issue, because they figured, you already know all about Batman. So that's pretty cool. It also has...
They're right. We do.
Yeah, it also has a preview for... issue number 82 of Showcase, and that's one of my favorite runs in the book, Nightmaster.
Nightmaster.
Oh, Mr. James Rook, indeed.
Yep, by Denny O'Neill and one and only Bernie Wrightson.
Wow. So that's the guy that was in...
Shadow Pact.
Okay.
It's got a nice Joe Kubert cover, too.
Nice.
Oh, Joe, we miss you.
He's in issues 82, 83, and 84. Those are some really cool issues. If anything, you can find them for like a buck each, and it's awesome Bernie Wrightson art.
Well, I wish I'd known about them the other day when I was looking. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
We're back to love.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Lovitz and Levitz. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Oh, there you go.
That's racist.
It's not racist. It's Jewish. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, see?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Oh, take a drink. We're doing Ultra Dillinger. Damn.
Yes.
Ultra Dillinger. All right. So, anyway, anyone got anything else to add today?
Yeah, Skype sucks.
Oh, Skype sucks hard.
I hate you, Skype.
So if you're hearing a lot of us dropping out and such, we're having issues with Skype, and I'm already researching an alternative. So we'll talk about that offline. So if anything comes over crackly and such, we apologize. Hopefully we'll fix that shortly.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Indeed. So.
But we love you all. Oh,
indeed. Indeed. So next week we'll have some con stuff. We'll have the Dragon Con report, and Scott Scott can give us a report on the rest of Fan Expo. You know, what happened beyond Thursday night. And so we can talk about all that stuff next week, as well as maybe, I guess, we'll cover the new issues, because the other new issues will already be out. So
Indeed.
And so comments are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on the forum at forum.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. We're also on the Facebook at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. In addition to all of those things, you can head to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and leave us a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble and head back to the 21st century, and we will see you all next week.